Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
We're back for another week of Drive Time Sports here on KOAL 103.9 FM. And 7:50 a.m., I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, alongside Travis Anderson. And we got a lot of local sports on tap today. Things are heating up in the local sports front. School's back in session. USU Eastern, we talked about this last week. A lot of things happening as far as, you know, volleyball and softball's got their fall ball starting up. Baseball, fall ball as well. You have soccer, volleyball. I mean, just all kinds of stuff going on right now at USU Eastern. High school sports, it's the same. We have cross country. We have football and volleyball and soccer. So a lot finally picking up here in the local area. We're going to talk some local sports today. Carbonite Golf. I mean, this team legitimately has a chance to win a 3A state championship. And there's no sugarcoating it. This team is a 3A state championship contender. And this past week, they traveled to Soldier Hollow, which is the home meet for the state tournament this year. And they win. They win the Region 12 meet. They shoot a 306 as a team. Still got to trim a couple of strokes off, but I know Coach Tom King was really thrilled with his team's performance over the weekend. He's going to join us on the show coming up here in about 10 minutes. We'll go over that. We'll also give you a quick recap of everything on the local sports front that happened over the weekend. And we're going to talk some Emory High School football on the show today. If you missed the broadcast here Friday, Emory picks up a win over 4A Payson, 27-14. Logan Cox was the man of the night for the Spartans. He finishes with 160 yards rushing on the ground, a couple of touchdowns to go along with it, and he also had an interception defensively. So Logan picked up Senator David Hinkins' Player of the Game honors, rightfully so. The kid was absolutely phenomenal on Friday night. And if you missed the broadcast, we caught up with Coach John Famalo after the game. We'll play that interview for you as well, and we'll get a NASCAR update. So a lot of news coming up here on the show today. While we're at it, let's dive into Major League Baseball and take a look at the schedule. All kinds of games today, tonight, as we continue to inch closer to September. They always say that's where legends are made. Toronto will be at Baltimore at 5:05, Washington at Philly, Tampa Bay will take on Boston, Minnesota at Cleveland, Detroit plays host to the White Sox, we get Miami at the Mets, and the Cardinals on the road to take on the Brewers. 6 o'clock hour, Seattle at Texas, Pittsburgh at the Cubbies. The Astros will welcome in the A's. We get the Yankees at the Royals. The Dodgers will be on the road to take on Colorado. And Cincinnati will travel on the road to take on the Angels. That's what's happening in Major League Baseball. We'll look at the current standings. And that AL East division, Travis, it's one that we've talked about over the last couple of weeks. Right now, the Blue Jays, they've opened up a 2-game lead over Boston and Baltimore.
Yeah, the Blue Jays, again, probably the strongest team out of that division. But at the Red Sox, the team you probably have to look out for if they somehow win that division. They always kind of springboard that into a World Series title. I still like Toronto to win the division.
Yeah, there's definitely, I definitely agree with you. I think they're the hottest team right now, to say the least, and we've talked about everything from pitching. I mean, you got to give that to Baltimore, but outside of that, can they score runs? I mean, that's the big question. Can they get enough? Did they have enough to get runs? And really, when you look at the pitching, they've given up more runs than both Boston or Toronto as well. So just a lot of questions right now around the Orioles, and then you have the Red Sox. They've now dipped 2 games back at Toronto. It is one of the funnest races, though, in the bigs right now. Cleveland's got a 4.5 game lead over Detroit. The Indians have lost 6 out of their last 10. Texas is 8.5 up on both Houston and Seattle. And then in the National League, the Nats, they got an 8-game lead on the Marlins. The Cubs, 14 up on the Cardinals. And the Dodgers, a 2-game lead on the Giants. How about the Dodgers taking 2 of 3 from the Cubbies?
Yeah, Dodgers doing work against the Cubs. It's a big series for them to get those 2 wins from Chicago. So Dodgers are playing good baseball.
And they did it defensively, picking up a 1-0 win as well.
Yeah, defense is what's key for L.A. with that pitching staff.
It is the opening week for college football. Actually, Friday was the opener. We had Cal run right through Hawaii. I don't know if you watched that game or not. I mean, it was on extremely late. Yeah, Hawaii's not very good. Cal without Jared Goff looked pretty impressive offensively, but again, Hawaii's defense was completely non-existent. Let's talk about Ohio State here for a moment. So I always make jokes about the lack of discipline on teams like Ohio State and Alabama, and it's not really against the schools, it's against the coaches. Nick Saban has had his fluff handlings of some situations, and we don't even have to go that far back, just about a month or so ago. Urban Meyer, I mean, that's kind of been his forte going all the way back to his days at Florida. So today, I hear that Torrance Gibson has been suspended for the season due to a violation of the school's student code of conduct. And I don't know if you're familiar with Torrance Gibson or not, but this kid was one of the most highly recruited athletes back in, I want to say, 2014, if I can remember correctly. Originally, he was supposed to be a quarterback at Ohio State, but he's got such great physical ability that they decided to move him to wideout. And a lot of that had to do with a logjam that they had at quarterback. I mean, gosh, he had Braxton Miller, JT Barrett, and Cardale Jones, for crying out loud. And Torrance Gibson just has he's oozing athletic ability. So he's suspended for the entire football season. And I ask myself, my goodness, what did this guy do to garner a season-long suspension from Urban Meyer? That was the first thing that popped into my mind, because I may joke about the lack of discipline coming from Urban Meyer. But when you have something like this, it's like, boy, this guy really must have done something bad.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the first thought. What did he do? Because it had to be terrible.
Then it comes out that Urban Meyer doesn't agree with the school suspending him for the season. Here's the quote. It was not from the athletic department or football program. I disagree with it. Of course you do. And this is my point right here. This kid violated the student code of conduct at Ohio State, and I have no idea what he did. I have no clue. Kudos to Ohio State for stepping up and suspending this kid for the entire season. I just get a kick out of Urban Meyer saying he doesn't agree with it.
Yeah, it's because Urban Meyer wants to win, and he needs his kid on the field to win.
Well, I'm always reminded by a quote, and again, Charlie Weiss was horrible when he was at Notre Dame. He was horrible when he was at Kansas. He was a decent offensive coordinator at Florida. He was a decent offensive coordinator in Kansas City. He kind of piggybacked off of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick when he was in New England. But I'll never forget a quote from Charlie Weiss. He said, if I want to win with hooligans, I could do it right now. And I think that rings true for a lot of coaches in the country. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying Urban Meyer is not a good coach. In fact, you know what? If I had to choose between Nick Saban or Urban Meyer, look, they're 1A, they're 1B. They're the two best coaches in college football. But they also have a lot of success because the school lets them dictate the majority of the standards. And it is what it is. I mean, that's just, it's a fact. And so when I heard that Gibson was gone for the year, I thought this kid must have really done something bad. Otherwise, he would have been suspended for warm-ups against Chattanooga or something. But no, the school suspends him, and Urban Meyer doesn't agree with it. So Urban Meyer doesn't even go and back up his own school. I have a problem with that. I have a problem with that. I don't think it's right.
Yeah, I don't think it's right either. And that's just Urban Meyer. That's a competitor in him wanting a player on the field to win games. And good for the football department to get that guy out of there.
It's not even the football department. Yeah. It's the school.
The school. So
it doesn't have anything to do with the athletic department.
Too.
I think if it was up to the athletic department, they would back Urban Meyer. That's why they pay him the big bucks. But the school says no. He's done for the year. So congratulations. Let's talk about the NFL here for a second. Joey Bosa. Last week we talked about him not signing this deal with the San Diego Chargers. A lot of people were mocking and pointing at the Chargers, saying that, you should have learned from Eli Manning. This is why Manning didn't want to play for the Chargers. And it's well documented the problems that they've had signing their first-round draft picks. I don't know which side you're on. Maybe it's down the middle. Maybe you don't side with the Chargers or the players. Maybe it's down the middle. Maybe it's neutral. A lot of stuff goes on behind closed doors that we don't know. I do know that they were going to give Bosa the biggest signing bonus out of this year's NFL draft, and he was the third pick. The only person that would have had a bigger signing bonus was Carson Wentz, who was number two. So they were giving Bosa a larger signing bonus than Jared Goff, the number one pick, and it wasn't good enough.
Yeah, it's difficult where to draw the line at. I mean, I can't blame Joey Bosa because football is one of those sports that's very dangerous. One player career could be over, so you get that guaranteed money when you can because you never know when you're going to play your last snap. So he got the guaranteed money that he was looking for. Good for him. But
yeah, apparently 85%. of that $16 million signing bonus wasn't good enough. But today they did end the stalemate. It took 31 days to get this done. Bosa, well, I believe he practiced this afternoon, if I understand correctly. But again, he was the third pick overall in the draft, unsigned for over a month. The longest that a rookie is held out under the new CBA, which goes all the way back to 2011. And after last week, I didn't think a deal was going to get done.
No, Chargers were ready to just move on and not play this guy the entire season. And then Joey Bosa had the option to where he could probably just re-enter the draft. And they finally got it done.
So here you go. This was the tipping point. This is according to Adam Schefter of ESPN. The Chargers compromised on cash flow in years 2, 3, and 4. This means that Bosa will receive the largest upfront signing bonus installment payment in team history for a vet or a rookie. Team history. That was all the language of the contract. That's what the holdup was. So his salary is pegged at about $26 million over 4 years, and he gets a $17 million signing bonus. Joey Bosa is doing okay for himself.
He got paid.
He got paid. And we're going to pause for just a moment. Again, coming up, we're going to talk to Coach Tom King of the Carbon Dino Golf Squad, and we're also going to talk a little high school football. John Famalo getting his first victory as a head coach, first victory as head coach here in, at Emory High as well. So it was just a great night all around. And for Coach Famalo, you get that first victory on the road against a 4A opponent. So we'll talk about that and more. It's coming up here on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 103.9 FM and 750 AM.
Have you been waiting for the perfect time to buy a new Ford? That time is here. Hurry down to Auto Farms Price Auto Group today and take advantage of 0% financing for 72 months on Ford Fusion, Focus, Fiesta, Flex, Taurus, Edge, Escape, Explorer, Expedition, F-150, F-250, and F-350. With this big of a selection, there's a Ford for everyone. Don't pass up this incredible time to save, even if you had credit challenges in the past. Now is the time to buy your new Ford at 0% for 72 months. Come into Auto Farms Price Auto Group today, 0% for 72 months on all new Fords. Won't last long. Ford Credit OA.
Every time I walk through the doors at Big Don's, it's like I've entered my own little Italy, with a twist, of course. You see, there's pizza, and then there's Big Don's Pizza.
Huh?
You'll know exactly what I mean when you try the Mexican Fiesta. It's like a top-notch taco on a pizza, or the Hawaiian Luau. One bite of the shredded ham or the fresh pineapple, and you're walking the beaches of Waikiki. Or my personal favorite, the Greek Street. Greek sausage, spinach, artichokes, feta cheese. What's not to love? Pizza's not just pizza at Big Don's, located at 170 West, 100 South. Reporting from the KOAL 103.9 FM newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. The Emory Spartan football team earned their first victory of the season as they topped the Payson Lions 27-14 Friday night on the road in Payson. The Spartans traveled to take on the 4A school, and despite falling behind early 7-0, scored 27 unanswered points as they grabbed the victory to improve to 1-1 on the season. The Spartans were once again led on the ground by Logan Cox, who had an impressive outing, finishing with 165 yards off of 20 carries and one touchdown. Zach Jorgensen finished with 5 completions off of 11 attempts for 59 yards through the air, and he also found Colton Butler in the corner of the end zone for a 2-point conversion late in the contest to put the game out of reach. The Spartans will look to make it 2 in a row as they play host to their first home game of the season this Friday when they welcome in the Delta Rabbits. Kickoff for that game will be scheduled for 7 p.m. You will be able to listen on KOAL 103.9 FM and 750 a.m. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll have more leading up to this game with head coach John Famalo throughout the week. Sticking with high school football, the Carbon Dinos dipped to 0-2 on the season as they suffered a 62-15 loss to Ben Lohman Friday night on the road. Nate Olson delivered once again a bright spot for the Dinos, scoring a touchdown off of a 95-yard kick return in the second quarter to bring Carbon within 2 scores. From that point on, Ben Lohman dominated. Ben Lohman wide receiver Deontay Nish led the Scots. He had 6 catches for 136 yards and 3 touchdowns, and he also added 5 more yards on the ground. The Dinos, now 0-2 on the season, will stay on the road as they travel to Snow Canyon this Friday. This will be the last road non-region game of the season for the Dinos. They'll return home on September 9th to take on Hurricane before opening up the region season against Emory on September 16th. Local mixed martial artist Cody Bunderson suffered his first professional loss on Saturday, losing to David Nuzzo via second-round TKO in Chandler, Arizona. The fight was a part of the World Fighting Federation's card and had the number one contender spot on the line for the bantamweight title. Bunderson had success in the first round and during the early stages of the second, but was unfortunately unable to capitalize off of the success. Bunderson will now return home and continue to put the final touches on Fierce Fighting Championship's next local card, which will take place on September 24th. We move over to golf. On Thursday, the Emory Spartans traveled to Grand, and they finished second place in the Region 15 meet, finishing with a team score of 374, topping Manti by just one stroke, but ultimately falling to Grand, who ran away with the contest, shooting a 318. Oakley Toomer led the way for Emory. He finished with an 83. McCoy Holt shot a 95. Race Nielsen, a 97. Shaden Kilpak, a 99. Derek Fuller, a 107. And Logan Healy, a 125. Grand easily dominated the home course, but Emory finished second for the second consecutive week. They now trail Manti by just 11 strokes for second in the overall region standings. Next week, the Spartans will play host to their lone home meet of the season at the Millsite Golf Course, where they will have another opportunity to possibly catch Manti for second place overall. Next, we move over to volleyball, where the Carbon Lady Dinos opened up the season at the Wasatch Festival, and they finished 2-1, topping Tooele and Union, but then falling to Tippinogas. In the first game of the year, Carbon took care of Tooele 2-0, and then topped Union 2-1 before falling to Tippinogas 2-0. The Lady Dinos will continue the volleyball season tomorrow. They'll travel on the road to take on Altamont. We stick with Carbon High Athletics. After tying with Gunnison last Wednesday, the Lady Dinos soccer team suffered a loss on Friday to South Summit, falling 2-0. The Lady Dinos have had a little bit of a rough patch to start off the non-league season. So far, the team is sitting 1-4-1. They'll have an opportunity to get back on the winning track tomorrow when they play host to Union. Start time for that game is set for 3:30 p.m. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting from the KOAL 103.9 FM newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
They say breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Steak and eggs, French toast, pancakes, or even an omelet. That's reason enough for me to follow this great advice. And my favorite place for breakfast is Big Mo's. I love that they have so many choices and can order something different every time. Plus, at Big Mo's, they serve breakfast all day long, so I can get my breakfast fix any time of the day. I think I'll have the biscuits and gravy for lunch today. Visit Big Mo's on 7th East. Next time you're craving breakfast, you can even call for takeout, 636-0451.
Being a sports fan can be painful. Whether you are participating in a sport or cheering on your favorite team, your chance of injury is higher. Local orthopedic surgeons Dr. Kelly Jensen and Dr. Scott Justison encourage all you sports fanatics to stretch properly before either participating in a sport, or if you're a passionate fan, you get a little too into the game. If you're injured, call 637-4800 for more information or to set up an appointment with either Dr. Jensen or Dr. Justison.
It's time to send your kids back to school. Lucky you, your 16-year-old can drive this year. The only problem with that is that she will be driving your car. Don't be left home without a vehicle every day. Let your student take your old car to school, and you get yourself something brand new with a loan from Desert View Federal Credit Union. Come talk to a loan officer today or call 687-2472.
Membership and eligibility apply. Loans on approved credit. Member NCUA.
At Desert View, it's all about you.
This is David Funk, administrator of Parkdale Health and Rehab here in Price. I thought you'd like to know that we received some great news on how we're doing as a facility. The agencies that evaluate our performance rated us 5 out of 5 stars in our quality measures. This means we are great at preventing problems and attending to the needs of our short and long-term guests. So what does this mean to you? It means if you've had an illness, an injury, or recovering from surgery, you should come to Parkdale to receive excellent care from some pretty amazing people. Great team, great facility, great results. Come to Parkdale.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
It's a Monday edition of the Coach's Corner here on Drive Time Sports, and boy, there's so much local sports to talk about right now. Soccer is now off and running, volleyball's off and rolling. Really a whole lot to get excited about here in the Castle Country. Right now we're going to focus on the high school golf scene. The Carbon Dinos continuing to roll through the Region 12 season. I mean, legitimate contenders for a 3A state championship. The Dinos, they take care of business this past week at Soldier Hollow. That's the home site for this year's state championship tournament, which will be held in October. Joining us over the phone right now to talk a bit about that, we have Coach Tom King of the Dino Golf Squad. Coach, as always, we appreciate you taking out the time for us.
Hey, Jordan, thanks again for having me.
Absolutely. Let's dive right into it. You guys had a pretty phenomenal performance this past Thursday. You guys extend that lead in the Region 12 ranks. You guys finish with 306, at the site of this year's state tournament at Soldier Hollow.
Yeah, you know, they did what they're supposed to do, like we've talked in the past, one tournament at a time, and they approached this tournament and this tournament only and played extremely well. I'm really happy with the whole team in a whole. But three kids played really good this week, and I'm very pleased with them shooting 306.
Comparing, I mean, most of the time you guys will get an opportunity to go play at the state site before the state tournament. Comparing this in years past, what are some of the things that stand out to you that says, okay, this team has definitely improved. They've advanced from where they were at last year at this particular time at Soldier Hollow.
Well, this year we're fortunate enough, I guess, to play the Silver Golf Course, which is a little bit easier than the Gold Golf Course. So that sets up a little bit easier better for our kids, especially with three par fives on each side. It gives them an opportunity to get some birdies out there. These kids' length allow them to reach some of these par fives in two. If not, they're hitting short wedges into them for their third shots, which they should hit them close. In the past, when we've gone to the Soldier Hollow before, shooting 305 would have been an amazing feat for us. Last year at State at the Gold Course, we shoot 309 both days, which is extremely good. So I think putting 300 to 305 right now, I think that's where we need to be.
As far as competing for a state championship goes, I mean, are you paying attention to what some of the other schools are doing at a site like Soldier Hollow?
You know, we're trying. Some of our kids are friends with other kids throughout the state, and then they keep track of what those schools are shooting, and they let me know, and we're right there. We're definitely right there. You know, obviously, we've always talked about Park City and how good they are or have been, and I think they're going to be a contender as well every year. Fortunately for us and unfortunately for them, they've lost one of their best players they've ever had. It's hard to replace a kid that goes out and shoots those numbers, but they've definitely improved already. Watching them shoot 310 at the first match, now I heard they're right around that 300 range. So we need to step it up going into the state tournament for sure. When we get there, we need to have our A game on and make some putts. And I'd love to see us shoot 295 to sub 300.
Riker Smith once again fires the tournament low score of a 73. It seems like North San Pete's always going to be hanging right around, Coach. I mean, they got Joe Garlick, who tied for second with Caden Alderson. So, I mean, one guy like Garlick can keep North San Pete within striking distance, which, I mean, I guess that means they're always dangerous.
Yeah, the week before at Ridgefield, Garlick didn't play very good. And Garlick's a good player. He's a very good player, actually. He was in contention last year as well. So he can go out there and shoot some low numbers. Fortunately for us, we're a little deeper than North San Pete, where we have, in the past so far, we've had at least three rounds. We're counting in the 70s. This week we had to count one in the 80s, but the previous week everything was in the 70s. So I think that makes us a little bit better than them. But we have to approach each tournament at its own. We play at North San Pete this week, and that is their home golf course. It's a tricky little golf course. And we just need to go out and do our thing. And if we do our thing and play our way we're supposed to play, the kids should come out with another victory.
Riker shoots a 73. Caden shoots a 75. Joey Penevich shoots a 76. Realistically speaking, even adding Joe Garlick to the equation, does Carbon have three? I mean, do they have the top three golfers in this region? I mean, can you envision that at the end of the year, seeing 1, 2, and 3?
Yeah, absolutely. We have, I would say, five of our kids in the top 10. I looked at the numbers yesterday, and the top five of our kids, Riker, Ryan Gagan, Carson Martinez, Joey Penevich, Caden Alderson, they're within the top 10, so they're all medalists. And like last year, we had four kids that were medalists. When you have that, that's a good ingredient, I guess, to win the region.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Tom King of the Carbon Dino Golf Squad. Coach, now two meets deep into the season. You guys hold a 26-stroke lead. Talking to you last week, that's kind of what you've envisioned.
It is, and we want to build on that. I hope we go into Cedar City with a 60-shot lead. You do that, it makes it pretty easy on your last match. We want to get as stress-free as possible going into the region championship so we can come home with the region title.
You did mention that up next you guys will go to North St. Pete. It's a tricky course. I mean, theoretically right now looking at it, you guys are 26 strokes up on North St. Pete, 44 up on Canyon View. If you guys can find a way to win this particular meet, I don't want to say it's smooth sailing, but I mean, you guys set up really nice here in the coming weeks to clinch the region.
Yeah, that would be a good thing, especially for us going to North St. Pete and building on that lead that we've had. You know, last year at North St. Pete, we shot a 304, I believe it was, which is really our lowest score of the season. Riker shot 69 last year. He's definitely able to do that again this year. And quite honestly, I see we have the potential to have at least two kids 70 or lower. If we can go ahead and do that and the kids learn how to keep the driver out of their hands sometimes, they need to keep the driver in the golf bag and just hit iron off the tee because it's not a long golf course, and keep it in play. If they can keep it in play, get on the green, make some putts, we're going to be just fine. You know, if we go in here and we win again, and that's the big hope, building our lead going into our home match would be even huge.
That's an aspect that I think gets overlooked from time to time. You mentioned the kids picking the right club, especially when to tee off on a shorter golf course. Is that one of the more frustrating things from a coach is trying to teach them what to use in what situation and not to panic in certain deals?
You know, it is, and it's especially frustrating when you talk about it previous or prior to the round, and then all of a sudden you go out and see, how did you score on this hole? How did you make this score on this hole? And they say, well, I pulled out driver. And what do you mean you pulled out driver? We've been told not to pull out driver. So that's the frustrating point, because that's just the maturing level. They need to learn how to score and mature a little bit better to not always hit the long ball. It's not always about the long ball, and they've got to learn that. Keeping it in play means a whole lot, especially on this golf course this week. If they can keep it in play, their scores will be very good.
Is that kind of a trust thing as well that comes along with having success?
Yeah, I think it is. They do need to trust me that, you know, by them pulling out iron, it's going to be okay. And they also need to trust that they're going to do that. So it comes down to respect as well. Listen to what we're talking about and try to execute the game plan just like in any other sport and then see what happens.
We've talked about the schedule over the last couple of weeks and how it plays out for you guys. Right around the corner, it's that home meet. I mean, looking at it right now, going into that meet here at the Carbon Country Club, ideally, what's a stroke lead that you would like this team to have going into that particular meet?
Well, right now we have a 26-shot lead over North St. Pete. I'd like to gain at least another 10 to 15. So if we have a, you know, 36-shot to 40-shot lead going into our match, I see nothing but good to happen, because these kids know how to play this golf course. That's kind of the benefit of playing your home golf course. It also can be a detriment, too, by playing your own golf course, because they put a little bit too much pressure on themselves. But I know each one of these kids, and at least the top four kids, have shot 70 or below here, and then Carson has been playing great golf this last little bit, and I hope he continues that. He's very potential to shoot 75 to 78 here as well. So there's a very realistic chance that we can go shoot 290, even less than 290 possibly here at home. So if we could do that going into our home course, I mean, that lead will just grow enormously.
As crazy as it sounds, there's only really a month left in the season. I know the fall sports season for golf really goes by in a hurry. When I start talking to other coaches in other sports, and you get to about 3 or 4 weeks left in the season, they start already talking of okay, either know it or you don't know it. Between now and then, how much realistic improvement can you expect to see from these kids?
Realistic improvement, I still see a lot. There's always room to improve in this game of golf. Riker, it's going to be hard for him to lower his stroke average, but his improvement is just going to be his consistency, as long as he can stay consistently. I do see a lot more improvement in Ryan Gagan's scores. I can see some improvement in Joey's scores as well, Joey Pinovich. Just if he can keep the ball in play. Sometimes he gets a little erratic sometimes with his driver, and it sprays a little bit, but if he can learn how to shorten his swing down a little bit and hit the ball a little straighter, his score average should go down. So there's not going to be a lot of improvement. We're shooting 305 to 307. I can see us getting right around that 300 range.
I do want to talk about the other two scores that were not counted this last week, Coach. It's always important to, when you look at the whole six scores. Carson Martinez, Ryan Gagan, they both shot an 82, and then Wyatt Henry had an 86. When your 5 and 6 golfers are shooting mid to lower 80s, obviously it's pushing the other kids on the team, right?
Yeah, it's definitely become a very competitive team, especially for the spots 5 and 6. The top four are pretty solidified. And Carson Martinez actually has probably solidified his number 5 spot the way he's been playing. But that number 6 spot is still up in the air. It's always up in the air. Besides the Henry kid, I have a little freshman, the young Brady Gagan, is playing for that spot. I have Tyler Yaklovich, Riley Wilson, Nick Olson, Caden Slavinsky. Those two kids are also freshmen as well. So I got a really young team trying to get on that 6 spot and trying to travel. It's going to be fun to see if we can get a freshman that can always qualify as number 6 and just watch him grow throughout the season for this year and then see what he can do next year.
Well, it's always fun to talk about a realistic expectation of a state championship in any sport, Coach, and you guys have definitely put yourself in that conversation. It's always great to get you on the show and talk a little bit about the team. Thank you very much. Best of luck this next week against North St. Pete, and hopefully we'll catch up again with you real soon.
I appreciate you having me.
Again, Coach Tom King of the Carbon Dino Golf Squad. We're going to pause for just a moment. When we return, we'll stick with a local scene, talk a little high school football. That's coming up next here on Drive Time Sports.
Some people like long drives to spend more. Others like to shop local for a great deal every day at Tony Basso GM. You'll get the best price or get $500.
Hi, this is John Duras, Fleet Internet Sales Manager at Tony Basso GM. I'm a lifelong resident of Carbon County with nearly 40 years of sales and customer service experience. Check us out at TonyBassoGM.com. Call or text me at 650-7444.
The best price, a great deal, locally, every day at Tony Basso GM.
Emory Telecom's new eFiber internet service is helping business here in eastern Utah. Businesses know that unreliable internet connections can have real costs. Any amount of unplanned downtime can bring business communications and productivity to a complete stop. With new fiber optic internet available through Emory Telecom, your business will experience the fastest, most dependable internet service available. Even during high demand periods, your connection will stay fast with eFiber. Let Emory Telecom help your business stay connected. Call them today at 613-9605.
4, 3, 2, 1. Gentlemen, start your engines.
It's now time for a NASCAR Sprint Cup Series update. Kyle Larson took home the checkered flag as he edged out Chase Elliott and Brad Keselowski to clinch a spot in the chase for the Cup. Larson led 41 out of the 200 laps, which was the most of any driver on Sunday's race. Jimmy Johnson led 37 laps and finished in 6th place. Ryan Blaney and Kevin Harvick rounded out the top 5. Carl Edwards, Jamie McMurray, Denny Hamlin, and Joey Logano rounded out the top 10. Following the victory, Kyle Larson said it's been a long time coming, but he and his team finally got the job done.
We've been close few times throughout my Sprint Cup career, and to finally put it all together and get a win, it's awesome. You're glad to get it before my 100th start next week. It makes me extremely proud because we didn't start off this year good at all. I was pretty down the first month and a half or so, and once Chad got to get to doing what he wanted to do to the race cars, we picked up speed immediately and almost went out and won a couple races. Almost won the All-Star race. We had a great month of May there, whatever that was, and then we had some bad luck again recently. So I knew we had to get a win here in these next 3 races to be able to make the chase.
Third place finisher Brad Keselowski started in 18th place and worked his way all the way up to the top, where he led 14 laps. He talked about the ending of this week's race and how the restarts tend to get a little crazy.
So these restarts here at Michigan, I was watching on TV, they get really crazy at the end. And the 42 had a good run. The 24 is really good. And we were kind of right there. We were a third-place car, I think, most of the day. On really long runs, we were maybe the best car, but for most of the day, we were a third-place car, so we kind of finished where we deserved, and at the end there, I gave Kyle a really good push. Looked like Chase spun his tires just a little bit, and next thing you know, we were off to the races. I got up to second. I just wasn't as fast as Chase. He was able to get by me, and Kyle was able to drive away, which was kind of the tail of the tape there on the short runs, but all in all, a really strong day for the Miller Lite team. We I think we would have been a little bit better if we could have got the sun to stay out. The clouds came out then, and we were our best, really, when the sun was out. But all in all, a lot to be proud of, and, you know, heck of an effort.
Taking a look at the current overall standings, Brad Keselowski is still in first place with a commanding lead. He has 774 points, which is 78 points better than second place Kyle Busch. Both Keselowski and Busch have 4 wins this season. Kevin Harvick is in third place, Carl Edwards fourth, Denny Hamlin fifth, Jimmy Johnson sixth, Matt Kenseth seventh, Kurt Busch eighth, Joey Logano is ninth, and Martin Truex Jr. is 10th. Kyle Larson, Tony Stewart, Chris Buescher, Chase Elliott, Austin Dillon, and Jamie McMurray complete the current 16 in the chase for the Cup. On the outside looking in, Ryan Newman is in 17th, Casey Kane is 18th, and Trevor Bain is 19th. Stay tuned to KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM as NASCAR Sprint Cup Series racing will continue this weekend. Up next, the season will shift to Darlington Raceway, and live coverage will begin here Sunday beginning at 4 p.m.
Hi, Craig Bowler Jack here. Jazz players are big, but you know what's really big? A 12-million-pound freight train. Never try to beat a train at a crossing, or someone you love might get hurt. Remember, see tracks, think train. Brought to you by Operation Lifesaver Utah.
People who can afford a LASIK procedure sure are lucky. Imagine being able to throw away your contacts and glasses. Imagine waking up tomorrow with 20/20 vision. Too bad everyone can't afford LASIK. Well, guess what? There's a company that agrees with you. The LASIK Vision Institute is now offering dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK to make it affordable for everyone. That means you get the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology for a fraction of what others charge. And if you call right now, we'll schedule a free appointment so you can discover if LASIK is right for you. Results may vary. Call 1-800-796-9372. Even better, if you're one of the first 100 callers, ask about an extra 20% discount off our already low-cost services. We've already performed over 1 million procedures. Let us help you. Discover how you can get the quality LASIK experience you deserve at a fraction of what others charge. For your free appointment, call 1-800-796-9372. 1-800-796-9372.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
Yeah, running down the drain.
Going to continue to talk some local sports here on the show. I wanted to talk some Emory High School football. It's a pretty cool deal when a coach wins for the very first time as a head coach. We saw that last year with Coach Josh Huntsman. He got that victory for Carbon. And then this past Friday, Coach John Famalo gets the win for Emory High School. And they do it in pretty dominant fashion. They trailed early in that game 7-0, and then they rallied off 27 unanswered points. I'm really excited for the home opener this weekend. Emory's had 2 games, both have been on the road, and they get a great test the next 2 weeks. Delta looks really good. They blasted Millard over the weekend. And then after that, Emory gets Manti. So 2 games that I'm highly interested in, 2 great tests for Emory before we go into league play. And it's 3A North versus 3A South, and I love those. I can't get enough of those during the non-league season. We talk about those a lot on High School Football Live every Saturday here on KOAL. I'm going to talk a little bit right now, though, about Coach Famalo. Following that game, he joined us at the broadcast booth to talk about the win. Here's that post-game interview, which lasted about 5 minutes. Coach, as you get the headset on, first off, congratulations on your first victory as a head coach.
Hey, thank you. Felt good. Felt good to get that first one under my belt, and hopefully we can keep the rolling.
Yeah, we were just talking about the offense. You guys didn't score a touchdown last week. You get one, you answer back in a hurry once Payson takes a 7-0 lead. And I had wondered if once you scored that first touchdown, would it kind of break the ice for the offense? Once those guys got into the end zone, could you feel that maybe they did settle down a little bit and they said, okay, you know, we can take an established drive downfield?
I think so. I mean, that helped to be able to answer and answer quick. And like I say, you know, we kind of got a little bit of funk there in that second quarter where, I mean, we had 3 takeaways and we didn't even get a first down out of those. So it was a little bit disappointing going in half, you know, where we at. But at the same time, you know, we scored. That was a monkey off of our back so far as what happened last week. And so I felt good about that.
The defense, once again, I thought was pretty impressive. Van Moose, talented junior quarterback for Payson, proved in the second half that he can actually beat you with his feet as well. I mean, that was a very efficient drive for Payson. But, I mean, outside of that, you force turnovers, a couple of stellar plays, including Ty Meacham, rip the ball away on a turnover, you know, a couple of interceptions out of the secondary. It seemed like the defense played really good football once again.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. We put a game plan together that I felt like would work for against Payson, and the kids executed, which, you know, I appreciate them paying attention and getting in their spots. When they got in their spots, we were really good. And when we didn't, you know, we missed a few tackles. But other than that, you know, I was happy with what we had. We had that third quarter drive, or they say the fourth quarter. He drove down there pretty quick, and we had a few second teamers in there. But again, we've got to build some trust and know that second team and be able to step up. And so, you know, they have to understand that when they're in there, they expect the same thing.
As far as the comparison between this week and last week, again, I was impressed with the way you guys played defensively in the second half against Summit Academy. Are there some comparisons there, or what was the biggest difference?
I think a carryover. Again, when the kids saw the video of the Summit Academy game, they recognized, oh, okay, hey, if I get myself out of position, something bad's going to happen. And so this week, you know, they were a little bit more wary of that, for the fact that it's a little bit of a pass-happy team. And, you know, I thought they did a great job sitting in the positions they need to be in and making plays when they had a chance to.
Let's talk about Logan Cox. He goes over the 100-yard barrier once again. I believe he finished with 150 yards. We didn't know how much Logan would be carrying the ball 2.5 months ago.
Oh, I mean, again, he's a kid that's been in the shadows. I mean, we had two great backs last year, and, you know, he's been waiting in the wings, honestly. He's a kid that I've thought a lot about since he was a freshman. You can kind of see that, you know, and so to see it come to fruition and everybody else to see that, I think as coaches we recognize that, you know, and between him and we were planning on Dielli, that was a 1-2 punch that I felt like we were pretty confident from, you know, from the backs that we had last year. And so, you know, people don't maybe necessarily notice him, you know, for the fact that he didn't play the first 2 years on the offense side of the ball, but a phenomenal talent, a horse of a kid that, you know, he's a stud. I don't know what else to say besides that.
I want to talk about your son here for a second. Kobe. We were talking about this during the game. Chris loves Kobe. Says he's one of those really unique athletes that can kind of get it done all over the field. If you want to run Kobe as a wideout, if you want to run him as a fullback, a halfback, he's getting it done defensively. He has an interception tonight. Seems like he's assuming the role of that senior leader, and you're able to use him in multiple spots, and he's been very effective as well.
Well, you know, I appreciate that. I mean, he's a kid that probably I don't give him there enough credit. You know, I think coaches get on me about that, but, you know, he's a great kid. And, you know, I do rely a lot on him for the fact that kind of taking a little bit of that leadership, because he knows where I stand and he knows where he stands with me. So there's a lot of high expectations. But at the same time, you know, he stepped up to it this week. And, you know, he's a kid that we've kind of moved around. He's been at wide receiver, you know, since he was a freshman. And so we moved into fullback once Dielli went out, and we felt like we just needed another punch there. And, you know, he's taking it in stride, and he's doing what he can, you know, and I'm proud of him. I'm happy that he's my son, and he's doing as well as he is.
Yeah, I'm sure if I feel this way, you do as well. I can't believe he's a senior already.
Yeah, it comes quick.
It definitely does. Coach, this will give you guys some good momentum. Finally, we get to go home. It's always difficult to start off the season with two road games, but now, I mean, the way to look at it, we really only have, you know, three road games the remainder of the year. That puts it in perspective. At home now the next 2 weeks.
Yes, and that'll be good to get the kids home. I think they're excited about that. I mean, it's always, you know, those nerves of being on the road, but now you're home, there's a little bit of comfort level, and so, you know, hopefully we can bring the same type of intensity we did this game, and, you know, we can take a little, like you said, that momentum into the next game and continue to ride that.
Coach John Famalo, congratulations on getting your first victory as a head coach. Hopefully many more to come.
Hey, thank you, Jordan. Appreciate you guys and all you guys do for us.
Again, that's Coach John Famalo following Emory's victory this past Friday against Payson. Get a 4A, win over a 4A school. That's always a good look for Emory. And again, they'll be at home this Friday. They'll take on Delta, and then home again the week after that. They'll take on Manti. Then they won't leave the Castle Country. To start the region season, they'll travel on the road to take on the Carbon Dinos, who are still winless. Let's pause for a second. I want to talk Mark Sanchez when we come back. The Denver Broncos have pretty much made the announcement that Sanchez is the odd man out. Looks like it's Trevor Siemian's going to be the starter. Paxton Lynch is going to be second string. I mean, Sanchez is the odd man out. He's got a $4.5 million contract this year. Only a million of that is guaranteed. Would you cut Sanchez or would you keep him on board?
I think at this point you might as well cut him.
The question is, do you carry two quarterbacks or three? Because some teams only carry two nowadays.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Denver probably only wants to carry two, so they keep an open roster spot elsewhere. So you got Paxton Lynch and you got Trevor Siemian, so you don't need Sanchez.
We'll talk about that when we come back here on Drive Time Sports.
At Castleview Physical Therapy, they know your health is very important to you. That is why they take pride in offering you the highest quality of rehabilitation. Castleview is the only clinic in the area to be able to offer aquatic therapy. Their warm water pool is inviting and effective in providing a safe method to heal injuries. They are happy to offer this service that has been proven to be one of the best rehab environments to make exercise safer, more relaxing, and less painful. Come in and see how Castleview's aquatic therapy can help make your road to recovery a pleasant one. Call Castleview Physical Therapy today at 636-4841.
Dr. Kyle Jeffrey is a board-certified general surgeon in our area that schedules office visits at Emory Medical in Castledale. Dr. Jeffrey has experience with breast surgery, gallbladder, pancreatic, liver disease, and upper and lower gastrointestinal disease. And, of course, common preventative procedures such as endoscopies and colonoscopies. To schedule your appointment with Dr. Jeffrey, call 613-7874. That's 613-7874.
When your car sounds like this, and you trying to fix it sounds like this, you most definitely need some help. Head to J&D Automotive in Castledale. They're number one in parts and service. If you need a quick diagnosis, they got you covered. If you need an individual part, they got you covered. Or if the job is just too big and complicated for you to handle, they got you covered. J&D Automotive in Castledale and Green River.
Paint it your way with Sutherland's. From refinishing to major updates, we have the products you need at the price you prefer. Dutch Boy Classic One Paint is a great choice for excellent coverage and easy cleanup. Right now, buy three, get one free of equal or lesser value. Don't forget the paint tray. It's a super buy for only 99 cents. Add some style to your kitchen with Quality One unfinished maple cabinets or a new light fixture from Satco, saving you 25%. Sutherland's, helping you build it better.
Hi, this is Colonel David Smith, commander of the Air Force Reserve 419 Fighter Wing at Hill Air Force Base in Utah. Military experience can add greatly to your life and provide many adventures. There are many exciting part-time jobs in the Air Force Reserve, which will allow you to advance your civilian career or continue your education while you receive excellent training and other benefits. I encourage you to start your adventure in the Air Force Reserve by going to afreserve.com or call 800-257-1212.
This message is sponsored by the Air Force Reserve and aired by the Utah Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Oakland-born Damian Lillard.
Now, what a second season for Damian Lillard.
Last year's Rookie of the Year, an All-Star this year.
It's Lillard! He got the shot off! Lillard got it! Win the series for the first time in 14 years!
This is Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with George Buscarino on KOAL 750 AM.
Denver Bronco football. Trevor Siemian's going to be the starter. Yeah, I think that's the direction it was going for a long time. Remember when the Broncos signed Mark Sanchez and a lot of people laughed it off? And look, I said here on the show, and I'm going to say it again, I thoroughly believe, statistically speaking, Sanchez would provide every bit as much as Peyton Manning did last season. Thoroughly believe that. You can't convince me otherwise. Because in the regular season, Peyton was not good. Now, Peyton adjusted well into the postseason. The Broncos won a championship because of that defense, but also because Peyton became a game manager. I don't know that Sanchez has the IQ to be a game manager, and the downfall seems to be that game against San Francisco where he fumbled twice in like 1 minute. Yeah. That seemed to be the downfall for Mark Sanchez. Trevor Siemian. I don't know what to think of this guy. I mean, he looked okay against the Rams. There were a couple of passes that... And not so much, he's basically a rookie. He's only got a year under his belt. You worry about guys like that holding on to the ball too long. I think it's only a matter of time before Paxton Lynch is the guy in Denver. I think Gary Kubiak is the right coach for a player like Paxton Lynch. But the question is, where does Sanchez fit in here? Now, again, the numbers. He's got 1 year, $4.5 million, a $4.5 million deal. Only $1 million of that is guaranteed. So if the Broncos cut him, they will pay him $1 million for essentially three games of football, because if he gets cut, two games of football, basically, because he didn't play in this last week against the Rams. So if he gets cut, it'll have to be by tomorrow. CBS reporting the Broncos are trying to trade Sanchez. Nobody's going to trade for Sanchez. That's not going to happen. Nick Foles, nobody wanted Nick Foles, and I put him in about the same category as Sanchez. Nobody's going to trade for a guy that they know is going to get cut. Yeah, then you sign him on your own terms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's going to get cut. I'd be shocked if they don't cut him tomorrow. Makes sense for Denver just to carry the two quarterbacks. You let Paxton Lynch sit there. I think by week 5 or 6, Paxton Lynch is in there anyways.
I don't know if the Broncos sign another quarterback. Like I said, a lot of teams have elected to just go with two quarterbacks. If the Broncos do that, and they don't bring in someone else, you have two very young quarterbacks. Can the Broncos still compete for a Super Bowl with Trevor Siemian or Paxton Lynch under center?
No.
You don't think so? Not at all.
I don't even think that they're the best team in their division with Trevor Siemian at the helm. I think Oakland's better.
I like Kansas City in the division, honestly.
Yeah, I like Oakland.
I think I'm not ready to jump on the Oakland bandwagon quite yet. I like what they've done. Reggie McKenzie's done great. Give me another year with the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
Give me one more year.
The Raiders are in a battle for a wild card spot.
The Raiders can compete for a playoff spot.
Jacksonville, the Jets, the Raiders. Jacksonville can win the division, though.
Yeah, don't sleep on the Jags.
Yeah, the Colts.
Don't sleep on the Jags at all. I mean, I'm high on Blake Bortles. I really like what Jacksonville has done with that defense. If they can stay healthy, I like them a lot. But as far as the Broncos go, now I like Kansas City in that division. I think you got a battle between the Broncos and the Raiders for second place. That defense is good. It's very good. Maybe that can keep you in games. I don't question John Elway. You can't question John Elway. That guy took two teams to the Super Bowl in 3 years. The first time they went with a loaded offense, the second time they went with a loaded defense. Sanchez, we're not going to see this guy on the field for the Broncos, which is it's kind of sad. I was curious to see what he could do. And again, so many people were throwing jabs at Sanchez, and I really didn't think it was that bad.
No, it's not the worst signing I've ever seen. It just didn't work out. He just had a couple bad snaps in a preseason game, and that was enough for Gary Kubiak to say, I don't want him as my quarterback.
Yeah, that had to have been... we don't know what goes on in camp.
No.
We bring on Bronco beat reporters from time to time. We don't really know what goes on at camp. At least I don't. I'm not there. But all in all, yeah, it looks like his time is coming to a close. We have one preseason game left. That's interesting timing. Because I don't think you should let Sanchez go quite yet. I think you have to at least wait until you get to the 53-man roster cut. I think you have to.
Yeah.
What if Siemian gets hurt? What if Paxton Lynch gets hurt? Yeah. Is there a better option out there than Mark Sanchez? I mean, honestly.
I can't think of anybody at the top of my head that's out there.
Not yet.
No. So, yeah, it's just odd timing for Denver.
I wouldn't cut him yet. I really wouldn't. We're out of time on the show today. We'll be back again to do it tomorrow. We got to start talking some college football. Thursday, the Utah Utes kick off the season. Are you ready for college football?
Can't wait. Saturday's going to be fun. Thursday, awesome.
Best sport in the world. We'll be back tomorrow. Same time, same place. Be safe. We're out.